All right. We still have a few minutes to get into the Word of God, so let's get something tonight. Let's get something tonight. Last week, the Lord really blessed us and intervened. There was a divine intervention in our service. The Lord took over and imposed His agenda on the things that have been planned. And I'm so thankful for the lives that were ministered to, just so many reports of the power and the grace and the anointing of God, and thus the hands of God that were stretched forth to touch the lives of His people. So for that, I'm really, really thankful. But after that service, again, I just, you know, sensed so strongly in my heart there were some things that the Lord had us minister on and had me say, had me read, that I sense very strongly that He wants us to dig in deeper into. One of those things, you know, I was going to gloss over this, kind of slow down at some point, talking about the blessing of the Lord and talking about you are blessed, you are blessed, you are blessed. And I think that was really the central theme of everything that we ministered last week. After that service, it was so strong in my spirit to have us delve further. I want to challenge you, believe in the blessing. I know we're talking about the fundamentals of divine provision. The fundamentals of divine provision. And I know our main text is taken from Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, where Paul said, "My God and my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." That's Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. But from there, we've looked at a few other scriptures. And last week, especially, we were talking and looking at the scripture where I know I started to drift a little bit and talk about the supernatural interaction between the blessing of the Lord and the abilities that He gives us, the grace of the Lord and the abilities that He gives us. And the blessing of the Lord is really a product of the grace of God. So they are interchangeable. It is the grace that produces the blessing. So everywhere you see grace, you can automatically assume that the blessing is also there. And so we read last week, we had read that before actually, but we read last week in Genesis 47 and verse 7, Joseph brought in his father Jacob when he arrived from Canaan. He brought him before Pharaoh. And the Bible tells us Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Some translations say Jacob put the blessing on Pharaoh, put the blessing on Pharaoh. And he repeats this. He says this in verse 7 of Genesis 47, and he says it again in verse 10. Joseph placed his father, verse 10, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from before Pharaoh. And as I said this before, I said the broke man, the poor man from Canaan, arrived in the land of Egypt and put the blessing of God on the richest king, the wealthiest king in the entire earth at the time, telling us that the blessing of God is more than wealth. The blessing of God is more than riches. The blessing of God is more than money. The blessing of God is actually the all-encompassing supernatural impartation of God upon His people, beginning from the time of Abraham. That was what He covenanted with Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. We're going to read that back again tonight. From there on, once the Lord commissioned that blessing covenant on and on through the ages, through generations, that blessing covenant continued to work. That blessing covenant continued to work. And I'm going to have us look a little closer into that as we move along tonight and in our subsequent meetings. The blessing of the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 22, it tells us the blessing of the Lord, it makes rich and it adds no sorrow. Now, I have said this with two statements, and I want to repeat these two statements and have us go back and read from the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9 and 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 8. These are scriptures that we have read before, so I'm not going to dwell there too much. But I want to read them directly verbatim from the Word of God. But I've made these two statements previously, and I want to make them again. Divine provision is the work of God's grace. divine provision is the work of God's grace, and it is never entirely dependent on our natural abilities, qualifications, and connections. Now, that grace, that divine grace that the Lord confers upon us, actually helps us in every area of life. You're going to see it right now in just a few minutes. The blessing of the Lord that is placed upon our lives is a supernatural force that impacts our lives at every area, at every level. The blessing isn't just for spiritual accomplishment. The blessing is an anointing for sure. It's an empowerment for sure. But it's not just an anointing or an empowerment that enables us to do spiritual things. No. The blessing is an anointing. It's an empowerment that affects every level and every area of our lives. You're going to see that in just 1 minute. So including the fact that when the blessing is upon our lives, the Lord enables us to develop skills and abilities. The Lord enables us, He empowers us to develop that when the anointing, this blessing is upon your life, there are things you may never have done before that you are able to do suddenly. That there are things that you may have very little skill, little ability in, but this grace is a grace. That grace works in your life, and you'll see it. How when Jacob, when he prophesied over Joseph, you see what he said about him. That grace just invades that blessing covenant. That blessing anointing, it invades every area of your life where things that you were even mediocre with, things that you didn't have much ability, when people say, oh, he's not that talented, she's not that skillful. When that blessing invades your life, suddenly people see you different. Even you know you are different. Things happen in your mind. Things happen in your brain. Things happen. Wisdom comes. Favor comes. Great grace is released upon you. Where things you never thought you would ever be able to do, you find yourself doing, and you are doing them seamlessly. You are doing them stresslessly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So divine provision is the work of God's grace. But I also said this, when we allow God to be involved in our financial and material well-being, all our possessions become the blessing of the Lord, and they are undergirded by His unfailing covenant. Let's read quickly 2 Corinthians 8:9. 2 Corinthians 8:9, it says, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Amplified says, you are becoming progressively acquainted with and recognizing clearly, more clearly, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, because we said this is a journey, we've already learned that. This is a journey. It's a journey that goes on. And at the beginning of this journey, even as we make progress on this journey, one of the things we find out constantly as we go along is, oh, there's so much we don't know. There's so much we don't understand. But progressively, this grace of God becomes revealed to us. It becomes more and more familiar. And the more familiar the blessing covenant, the more familiar the grace of God becomes to us, the more the blessings of heaven, the more the ease and the favor and everything that blessing carries, the more it becomes manifest and released into our lives. So he says, you know the grace of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, even though he was rich, yet for your sake, he became poor, so that through his poverty, you may be rich. And that blessing makes us rich. The word rich means well supplied, fully supplied, well supplied, having sufficient and having more than we require so that we can be a blessing to other people. That's what the word rich means. Doesn't mean you are a billionaire. Hallelujah. Yes, you can be a billionaire when you are rich, but the rich, the word of God is talking here, is not promising every Christian is going to be a millionaire. Many believers will not know how to use $1 million if they got it. So that's really not what he's talking about. He's talking about being well supplied enough to where we are blessed and endowed in our own individual lives, but then we are able to be a blessing to other people. Now, in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, it says, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things, you may abound unto every good work. So that blessing, the Bible says God wants it to abound towards us. God wants to cause his grace and his blessing covenant to abound towards us. So as you are becoming progressively acquainted with that grace, as you are getting to know it more and more and more, God wants that grace to be poured more and more and more upon our lives so that we are rising. We are going higher. Amen. Glory be to God. We as the more of that grace we encounter, the more of that grace we experience, the more of that grace we are acquainted with, the more the evidence in our lives, hallelujah, the more the impact on our lives, the more the fruit, the result, the increase that the Lord causes to be manifest in all of our lives. Amen. Somebody say amen to this. So now, I want us to take a few minutes and delve a little bit more into the grace of God, into the grace and the blessing covenant. I want to encourage you, believe in the blessing. I want to challenge you very strongly about that tonight. You say, well, Pastor, why are you saying that? I'm saying that, number one, because last week, one of the things I sensed so strongly was the need to remind the saints to believe in the blessing. Believe in the power of the blessing of God on your life. I know you believe in the power of the blessing of God on somebody, on people that you've seen with evidence, with fruits. I know that. I know you've heard some people's testimonies. I know that. You know for sure the blessing of God is evident on their lives. You've heard their testimonies. What I'm not sure about is if you know that blessing covenant, that blessing anointing is on your own life as well. That blessing is not just on some preacher, on some person, or some Christian that you know. It's also on your life. And I want to challenge you to believe in the blessing on your life. You have been empowered by God. You have been graced by God to walk in the blessing. You walk in the blessing. You are a child of covenant. Now, I want you to see here what Jacob said when he prophesied the blessing over his son Joseph. Here he says in Genesis 49 and verse 22, these are the blessings of grace, and these are the manifestations of the blessing. He said, Joseph is a fruitful bough. A fruitful bough by a well or a spring or fountain whose branches run over the wall. I'm reading from the Amplified Version. Genesis chapter 49 and verse 22. You will not be overstepping to replace the name of Joseph with your name, to put your name there. Because this blessing covenant started all the way from Abraham, and it went Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. And in fact, by the time Jacob is declaring it over Joseph, his son, he tells him one of them, you're going to read it in a minute. He tells him, in fact, the manifestation of this blessing in your life will be more than the manifestation that your grandfather Abraham experienced. So with subsequent generations, the power of that blessing, the intensity of that blessing, the efficacy of that blessing actually increases. You do know that the glory of the latter house, everything the Lord does, the glory of the latter house surpasses the former. With God, everything he does increases over time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everything the Lord does, Bible says the end of a thing is better than the beginning thereof. That's in Ecclesiastes. Hallelujah. So that blessing covenant, by the time it became manifest through Jesus, Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, It was where the Bible says Christ has been Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us by hanging on the tree, because the Bible says, the word of God says, cursed is everyone that hangs on it, so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Christ, and that we might receive the promise of God, the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, understand that by the time of the manifestation of the blessing covenant through the dispensation of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, that thing came into a fuller manifestation. It's even fuller than what Abraham encountered, than what Abraham experienced. So I'm trying to say to you that you and I can walk, we can walk in a level. Help me, Holy Spirit. Let me say this right. We can walk at a realm of the blessing of God that even Abraham did not walk in. The Bible tells us that. The Bible tells us that. We can walk, you said, how can that ever? Yeah, but that's the word of God. To start with, he didn't have the Holy Spirit like we do. So that, in fact, already has taken us to realms that he never experienced. And then that anointing is like butter in our feet. That anointing just brings an ease to our lives when we walk in that anointing, when we walk in that grace. Amen. Now, he says, Joseph... Excuse me. This is Genesis chapter 49 and verse 22. Joseph is a fruitful bough by a well, a spring or fountain, whose branches run over the wall. I like this next verse. It says, skilled archers, that is, in some translations say, the enemy, his enemies, skilled archers have bitterly attacked and sorely worried him, but they have shot at him and they have persecuted him, but his bow remained strong and steady and rested in the strength that does not fail him. For the arms of his hands were made strong and active by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob, by the name of the shepherd, the rock of Israel. Oh, I really love this scripture. The archers, his enemies, they shot at him. They bitterly attacked him. They sorely worried him. They shot at him. They persecuted him. But the Bible says he always had the upper hand. I don't know if you know this. The blessing gives you the upper hand in every situation of life. There's some things about this blessing covenant that we haven't talked about enough. There are some things about this blessing covenant that we haven't understood enough. We don't have sufficient revelation of. This blessing is not just an empowerment upon our lives. It's not just an empowerment and an anointing that comes upon our lives to enable us to fulfill destiny, to accomplish every plan that the Lord has ordained concerning our lives. This blessing is a double-edged sword. It's an anointing on our lives, but it is a weapon. Help me, Holy Spirit. It is a weapon that fiercely deflects, fiercely damages and destroys every attack that the enemy sends against you. You're going to see that as you go on and on, from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to Joseph, to Israel, every time the enemy attacked them. In fact, it was so funny. It was so funny in Exodus chapter 1, in the experience of the children of Israel. The Bible tells us, it's very interesting. Let me read this to you, just distract myself a little bit. It says, when the Egyptians were afflicting them, the Egyptians actually crafted a plan to afflict the children of Israel. Mind you, these children of Israel were children of covenant. These were the great, 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 great grandchildren, the descendants of Abraham. And the blessing covenant was upon them. The blessing anointing, that same empowerment that was upon Abraham, was upon them in a greater measure, in a greater dimension. So the Bible says in Exodus chapter 1, verse 12, but the more actually it says, He says, the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. The Egyptians were vexed. They were alarmed, the Amplifier says. See, the more the Egyptians oppressed them, the more they multiplied and expanded. That's what the blessing does. The blessing will damage every attack, but through that attack will actually also produce increase in our lives. The blessing is an amazing endowment. The blessing is an amazing impartation from the Lord. Let's read this to the end. Genesis 49, 23 says, skilled archers bitterly attacked him, sorely worried him. They shot at him, they persecuted him, but his bow remained strong and steady and rested in the strength that does not fail him. For the arms of his hands were made strong and active by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob, by the name of the shepherd, the rock of Israel, by the God of your father. I love this now. Now listen to this now. Because Jacob describes the way this blessing covenant invades every area of our lives, the different dimensions of this blessing. I want you to listen to this now in verse 25. Even by the God of your father, who shall help you, and by the Almighty, who shall bless you with the blessings of heaven above, number one, the blessings of the deep that lieth under, number two, and the blessings of the breasts and the womb. Hallelujah. Look at how he describes the dimensions of the blessing. He said, the blessing, the Lord Almighty will help you, who will bless you with blessings of the heavens above, blessings lying in the deep beneath, blessings of the breast and of the womb. So this blessing covenant invades every area of your life. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. This blessing anointing creates spiritual blessings over your life. It's the blessings of heaven. It creates material blessings in your life. These are blessings of the earth, lying deep within the earth, treasures and riches in secret places. And this blessing, the Bible says, is the blessing of the breast and the womb. So the blessings of natural life, every blessing of natural life, the blessing of milk and honey life, the blessing of production, the blessing of fruitfulness, the blessing of strength and health, the blessing of agility and wisdom and smartness, the blessing of great abilities in the natural. The Bible says all of these are imparted upon you because of the blessing covenant. Because of the blessing covenant. Oh, child of God, oh, child of God, I pray for you. I pray for all of us that our eyes become open, that we can see, not just recognize, but we can understand the power of the blessing of God on our life. And we're already anointed with it. The blessing is already upon our lives. It's already on us. The blessing of heaven, the blessing of the earth, the blessing of the breast and the womb, the blessing that invades every area of our lives is already available to us. And my prayer for you and for me and for all of us tonight is that we'll be able to enter into greater dimensions, because there are greater dimensions of that blessing. Hallelujah. If I listen to what Jacob said in the next verse here, amen. It's not just the blessings and all these different dimensions. He says, in fact, that blessing and the manifestation of that blessing in your life, Joseph, will be far more than the manifestation of that blessing in your forefathers' lives. Look, listen to what he says in verse 26. Verse 26, he said, the blessings of your father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph, you can put your name there, and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen to how the Amplifier puts it. He said, the blessings of your father on you He's talking to Joseph and he's talking to you, to me. The blessings of your father on you are greater than the blessings of my forefathers, Abraham and Isaac, on me. Seal that and let it sink in. The blessings of your fathers on you are greater than the blessings of your forefathers on Jacob, your forefathers, Abraham and Isaac, on Jacob. As we inherited a greater dimension of the blessing of God, a greater manifestation of the blessing of God. This blessing is not just, people say, God bless you, God bless you. It's not just something you say, just so flippantly. You, somebody sneezes, you say, God bless you. Yeah, 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 good. God bless them. God bless you if you sneeze. But it is more, it's stronger than that. It's greater than that. The blessing of the heavens above. The blessings of the earth. There's blessings of this earth. This earth must produce for you. This we saw in the life of Isaac. We'll come back to it, hopefully, in one of our next few meetings, services. When the earth was not producing for anybody, the earth produced for Isaac. In the time of famine, the Bible says Isaac sowed in the land, and in the same year, he reaped a hundredfold. There are people who have said 2020 is the year of the pandemic. Not for you, not for me. We refuse to cede this year to COVID-19 or any other evil. Any other evil from the pit of hell. We refuse to cede. We refuse to give up our year, our season. This is our year of harvest. This is our season of harvest. This is our season of joy. This is our season of overflow. Hallelujah. It's our year of possibilities. It's our year of open doors. We refuse to give it up to COVID-19 or to anything else from the pit of hell. In the time of famine, when nobody was producing anything, the Bible says Isaac sowed in that land and he reaped a hundredfold. You know why? The blessing. The blessing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said the blessing of your father on you are greater than the blessings of my forefathers, Abraham and Isaac and me, and they are as lasting as the bounties of the eternal hills. That is, there's just no end to the flow of this blessing. Not that I said this, like the Holy Spirit declared this last week as we were ministering. There is no curse that can stop the blessing flow in your life. There is no curse. There is no famine. There is no devastation. We pray, our prayers go out to the people in all over the world, certainly, people who are being affected by different things, but in our nation, in Louisiana, Texas, and different places, people on the Gulf Coast, we pray for them, their safety, God's protection, God's mercy upon them. In the name of Jesus. But no matter what happens, there is nothing that can stop the blessing flow in the life of a believer. I hope you receive that. No matter what happens in your life, no matter what happens, nothing can stop the blessing flow in your life. It's a good place to stop. It's a good place to stop. I've been so blessed. We had a very short time to get into the Word of God tonight. But I'm so thankful for just the power of the Word, just the illumination of the Word that we received from those scriptures. I want you to say that with me. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. And there is nothing anyone or anything can do about it. Let's say that one more time. I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, and there is nothing anyone and anything can do about it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go ahead and thank God for the blessing covenant. You have that blessing covenant. You are a part of this blessed generation. You are a part of this household of blessing. Father, we thank you for the blessing covenant. We thank you. You are a part of the glory of this latter house. You are a part. You have access. You have a right. You have an inheritance in this blessing flow. Father, we thank you for every provision that you've made for us. We thank you for your blessing covenant. We thank you, God, for the outpouring of your blessing upon your people, God, in this season. Lord, regardless of pandemic, regardless of natural disasters, regardless of evil in the land and the nations, no matter what is going on, Lord, your blessing covenant is a shield around us. Your blessing covenant is a double-edged sword that's not just protecting us and protecting our inheritance, but is also destroying every attack that the enemy might launch against us. Father, we thank you. I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice tonight, all of my brothers and my sisters, all of their loved ones, I call you blessed in the name of Jesus. I call you blessed. Your blessing flow will never cease, will never stop. Father, perfect every word that you've spoken tonight in the lives of your people. I give you the glory and we give you the praise for it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen.